The Prayer of a Seasoned Saint from Selected Psalms. This is an exposition of Psalm 71. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Wednesday evening, October the 18th, 2017.
I read about it several years ago, and when I read about it, I couldn't believe it. I guess it's a real thing, and maybe you've heard about it too. It's called granny dumping. You heard about that? People were taking their elderly parents and grandparents and just putting them in a hospital waiting room or lobby and leaving them. Tired of the mess, tired of the expense, tired of the inconvenience, so they just dumped them. And then the hospital and social services scramble, try to figure out how to take care of it. I mean, this was a thing that was going on across the country. Now, there was a time when cultures admired older folk, that they sought out their wisdom, they respected them, their wisdom was prized. But in our current love affair with youth and vitality, it's no longer the case. And some have decided to deal with the whole problem of aging by the Peter Pan method. They refuse to grow up. Of course, the problem is, eventually, age is going to win. So then what do you do? Our culture hasn't handled it well, but unfortunately, the church hasn't handled it very well either. What are we, the church, to do about the graying of the church? Should we despair of it? Should we say, well, we're just getting older and we just don't see as many young people anymore? Should we consider it something unfortunate? How should we respond to it? And when we respond to it, is it simply a matter of a battle between worship style, kind of music, or how we do church, or is it something deeper than that? Do we need to choose whether we want to be an older church or a younger church? Is that something that needs to be chosen, or do we say it's not a matter of either or, it's both and? I don't know if you know this, but getting older is not a new phenomenon. People have been getting old for a long time now. How do we deal with it? How do we handle it, especially within the church? I know the culture has shifted. I know that things have changed, but that simply means that young and old must adapt. I'm convinced that we in the church should welcome seasoned saints and celebrate their presence. We need to recognize that those who've walked with Christ for years have something great and precious and wonderful to offer to the church. It's to be prized. It's to be valued by the church. If you've walked with the Lord any length of time, you've bound to have learned something over that period of time. At the same time, seasoned saints, those who are older in the faith, need to recognize that you never get to stop growing. You never get to the point you say, well, I have arrived. No, you will always be learning and growing. In fact, those who walk with Christ the longest ought to be the ones who encourage young people all the more. Those of you who've walked with Christ and you've experienced His grace, His mercy, and His provision ought to be the cheerleaders encouraging the younger to take risks and to dare to dream and do new things. I remember sitting in a seminary classroom and a professor started the lecture with a story about the old council, the men who know. And it was about a group of people who lived on the backside of a mountain in a little valley, and the younger men recognized that we can't survive if we stay in this valley. The resources are being used up. And so they went to the council of the old men who know. And they say, we need to move on. We need to move out of this valley, cross the mountain, and go beyond. And they said, oh no, don't. You can't do that. There's nothing beyond this valley. There's nothing beyond the mountains. Well, the younger men said, if we stay here and embrace that life, we'll go out of existence. So the young men got provision, trekked over the mountain and found a beautiful valley. And in 40 years, as resources were being used up, the young men came to those pioneers and said, we need to move on. And now the council of the old men who know said, oh no, there's nothing beyond this valley. The tendency is, as you get older, to get settled and fixed, and you don't dream anymore, and you don't push for new and exciting. And the truth of the matter is, our older saints ought to be the greatest cheerleaders of young people and their families and say, try it. If they want to do something, we say, try it. And if they fail, we say, good try. Learn from it and move on. We have a treasure in our seasoned saints. Tonight I want us to look at a passage, Psalm 71, and consider the prayer of a seasoned saint. Psalm 71 is a little bit unique in that it's one of two in the second book of the Psalms. The Psalms are divided into five books. And book two is Psalm 42 to 72. And it's one of only two that doesn't have a title. So it kind of abruptly begins. And so we're wondering, well, who wrote this one? We're not told. Well, it's believed by most that David's the author of it. It seems closely connected to Psalm 70. In fact, some believe that 71 used to be a part of 70 and somehow it got broken up over time or whatever. But one thing's certain, that the same kind of themes are reflected in Psalm 71 that we see in Psalm 70. There's some of the same language. There's a reference to a rock of refuge and a rock, a fortress. There's reference to my enemies and be not far from me. So there's a lot of things that are clearly reflective of David's thought. But in Psalm 71, we have an older man looking back over his life. Commentators aren't agreed about the best way to divide it up. And so I'm going to group it according to some topics and just make some comments from that. But first, I want you to hear the whole psalm. Look, beginning in verse 1 of Psalm 70. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually to you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day long. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. May my accusers be put to shame and consumed with scorn and disgrace, that they may be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you, and yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord God I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my mouth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me, until I proclaim your might to another generation. Your power to all those to come. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You have done great things, O God. Who is like you? You have made me see many troubles and calamities. And will revive me again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will also praise you with a harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with a lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you. My soul also, which you have redeemed. And my tongue will talk of your righteousness, of your righteous help all the day long. For they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. So here is an old man at the end of his life looking back, and he sees the Lord's hand. He sees the Lord's grace. He sees the Lord's deliverance. And so again and again, he gives thanks and praise to the Lord. So let me point out a couple of things. First of all, in verse 9 down through verse 12, in confidence, the seasoned saint bravely contends with the struggles that come with age. It's part of the process. If you live, as you grow older, certain things start to happen. You start experiencing certain things just due to the natural course of life. David is nearing the end of his life. His life has included a series of struggles. There have been great victories, and those victories have often been tempered with bitter tragedy. And that's the way life is. I mean, that's par for the course. We have great victory and we have struggling tragedy. He acknowledges in this section his struggle with failing abilities, mounting difficulties, and increasing loneliness. Again, part of the human condition. It's commonplace. It's part of the plight of man as he gets older. In verse 9, he deals with those failing abilities. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. So David says, I'm getting older and things aren't working so well. Don't cast me off. Don't push me out. Don't set me on the shelf. As you get older, you lose strength and some of the abilities you had when you were younger. Eyesight weakens. Hearing fails. And the mind, I don't remember what happens to the mind, but it's not good. That's part of the process. It's normal. And David is looking at his life and he says, I'm getting older and things are failing. Don't cast me off. Bill Cosby used to say that when you're struggling as you get older, it seems that dates are down here and names are up here. And so you say, well, let's see, that happened in, 1930, and his name was, there's truth to that, because I do that too. When I'm trying to remember a date, I look down, and when I think of a name, I look up, I don't know why. That's part of the process. It's part of the aging. And David is saying, I know all this is happening. And it's normal. I get tired faster. My pace is not as brisk. But please, dear God, don't cast me off. His desire is to be useful in the kingdom. Too often within the church, folks quit down at church when they just get to the point that they have the freedom to serve the Lord in great ways. The truth of the matter is, seasoned saints ought to be the strongest missionary force in the church. You no longer are tied down to a job. You're no longer tied down with responsibilities you once had. You now have the time and the resources to give yourself to the work of the gospel in ways that you've never been able to before. David is pleading, don't cast me off. Don't put me on the shelf. He longed to be useful to God and to his kingdom. He's fighting beyond these failing abilities. In verse 10, he deals with the mounting difficulties. My enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together. Have you noticed that difficulties you faced when you were younger don't go away? Have you noticed that you don't get to the point to say, you know, I fought all those battles when I was young, but now that I'm older, I don't have those same battles. No, they're still there. And the interesting thing is, you've aged and they haven't. They're just as strong and vibrant as they were. David is acknowledging that. He's saying, I fought this battle and I've had these enemies. As you read through the Psalms again and again and again, David is talking about his enemies. Those folks who are gathered against him. Those folks who consult against him. Those who are watching his life, seeking the opportunity. And look at the loneliness in verses 11 and 12. God has forsaken him, his enemies are saying. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, do not be far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. A sense of abandonment. And so David pleads, Lord, don't be far from me. Lord, be close to me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, don't leave me. Make haste, come to me. And help. These are universal problems. It's something that all of us go through as we get older. And David does what all of us must do. He looked to God for strength. He cried out to the Lord for deliverance. He cried out to the Lord for power and strength to overcome and to live the life that God has called him to live. Overcoming frailties. Overcoming those mounting difficulties and increasing sense of loneliness. Deliverance ultimately will come from the hand of your God. He alone can deliver you. The truth of the matter is, everyone else will fail you. No matter how well-intentioned they may be, everyone else will let you down. If your hope is in your spouse or your children or your grandchildren, you will be disappointed at some point. Because none of them are God. They're frail children of dust, the same as you are. There is one who never disappoints. There is one with power sufficient. David cried out to God in the midst of this, and we must follow that example. Second, seasoned saints find strength in their long experience with the grace of God. Look at verses 5 through 7. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. The mature saint looks to the past and finds strength for the future. God has been consistently present throughout all of David's struggles. Thus, David is confident of future grace. See, the great thing about walking with the Lord over a long period of time is you have the opportunity of perspective and vantage point, and you can look back and see that even in days of darkness and difficulty, God was there and his provision was sufficient. And because you've seen that consistently in your past, you have every reason to be hopeful in the future. The seasoned saint's past life tells the story of God's grace. From his earliest memories in verse 5, he has known the presence of God. And he has consistently leaned on God for strength and courage. Beyond that, David's life is a testimony to God's gracious activity. That's the value of seasoned saints to the church. Your testimony of God's grace, of God's goodness, of his presence, of his provision. So that David says in verse 7, I have been a portent to many. What does that word mean? Portent can be taken negatively or positively. Positively, portent can mean I am a well-known example. Negatively, my life serves as a warning to others. What does David mean? Both. I think David looked back at his life and he says, I'm a well-known example of God's deliverance, of God's grace. God has done mighty things in my life, gracious things in my life, and everybody knows about it. It's an encouragement to them. And David also looks back and says, I have been massive and monumental in some failures, and my life stands as a warning to others. Both are helpful. Both are valuable to the people of God. And that's the value of seasoned saints within the church in both respects. We say to those behind us, we say to those that are younger, learn from me. Take what is positive and good. Take what is negative and learn from it so you don't make the same mistakes, so that you don't stumble in the same ways. The value of the senior saint is the strength of their long experience, the grace of God. Which leads me to the next point, 17 and 18. The seasoned saint understands that they have a precious gift to bestow on future generations. And you really do need to see these two things together. Because as a seasoned saint, if you've walked with the Lord any length of time, your value in the church is the testimony of God's grace and provision in your life. And because of that, you need to understand that you are a precious gift to the church, and you are valuable to the church, and you are to pass on to the generations following the story of God's grace and God's provision. Look at it in verses 17 and 18. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. David is saying, I want my faith to live beyond me. I want my experience to be handed down. One of the things that we've talked about in this whole process of visioning for our church and things that we need to capitalize on and think about and be intentional about, one of those things is, how do we pass on the faith? And this is a key component of that. Those who are seasoned saints, those who've walked with the Lord for a long time, need to be vocal in passing on to the other generation, those behind you, the story of God's grace, of His goodness, of His mercies in your life, and your failure as a way of learning, as a way of teaching. You are a precious gift, a precious treasure to the church. You are valued, and you need to invest that treasure in the life of your church. Finally, fourth thing, in verse 19 down through the end of the psalm, seasoned saints continue to celebrate God's goodness and His grace. Your righteousness, O God, reaches the high heavens. You have done great things, O God, who is like you. You who have made me see many troubles and calamities will revive me again. From the depths of the earth you will bring me up again. You will increase my greatness and comfort me again. I will also praise you with harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praises to you with a lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, my soul also, which you have redeemed. And my tongue will talk of your righteous help all the day long. For they have been put to shame and disappointed who sought to do me hurt. A seasoned saint gives praise for the grace and mercy and kindness of God consistently. What happens to us too often when things get difficult or we start to struggle and we get older and we sense that loneliness is we tend to focus here right now. We tend to focus on, what am I experiencing today? What am I missing today? What do I not have today I used to have? And what David is showing us through this psalm is that at times like that, you need to look back and see God's hand and His mercy and His grace, and you're going to find you have ample reason to praise Him. It's where your mind is. It's where your heart is. It's where your thoughts are. I'm not talking about living in the past. I'm talking about remembering and praising Him for the present and the future. And seeking out opportunity to share it with others. And the opportunity to invest your life in the life of others. Show interest in someone else. Befriend one of the youth who comes to church by themselves week after week. Their mom isn't here. Their dad isn't here. They don't have grandparents here. They're just here as the only member of their family. Befriend them. Love them. And encourage them. One of the ways you invest back into the life of the church is you seek out opportunity. You don't just wait for it to come to you. You seek it out. You be like David in the Psalms. I'm going to do it. I'm going to sing your praise. I'm going to tell to the generations to come. We're getting older. And for the most part, we're living better. That's what the statistics tell us. But how do we handle it within the church? We value it. We treasure it. And we put it to use for the sake of the kingdom, an investment in the lives of others.
You've been listening to the TBC Tulsa podcast, which features the preaching ministry of Pastor Rod Harris at Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.